This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
If you're a Falcon fan, you should be feeling pretty good. Look, maybe you don't like every pick. We only had five. Maybe the one that you're not quite sure about is the one that maybe we've been talking about, and that's James Pierce Jr. It's not because we don't think he can play. It's did we give up too much for maybe the production in return of what we're going to ultimately get? Now, if this guy's a baller, none of this is going to matter. We will not care in 2 years, Mike, if this guy's racking up sacks and potentially leading the league. I'm not worried about Jalen Walker. He was one of the top five guys in this draft, period. He's going to be a great player. The deal, though, Mike, is you got value with your safety picks and Xavier Watts and your other pick in defensive back. He's listed as a safety coming out of OU, but Billy Bowman, they are going to use him in the nickel. I think those are two really good picks for ball hawk guys that are going to be in your secondary. And then you go add some offensive line depth in the seventh round. But the top of this draft, Mike, is where your team changes, right? And now Terry Fontenot has done his job. Kyle Smith has done his job. Anthony Robinson, director of scouting, they've done their job. Now it's time for Ra, Mike, to do his. And this is where it gets interesting because coaching matters.
Right. How are you going to use him? Now, we got a lot of guys that hit us up and go, don't we have too many linebackers? No. Carl just said, Jalen Walker is going to be doing what he does best. Go get the quarterback. And hopefully, so will Pierce Jr. We've got good depth at the edge position. Tackle, I'm still not as confident as Carl is, but we'll see how that develops. We'll talk about some of the undrafted free agents that they brought in as well. But, you know, getting back to the draft, I saw all these grades, and, you know, look, I know guys have to do it for a living, whether you work, you know, for, you got to provide content on social media or you got to blog it. It's just, to me, it's a study, what I say earlier, it's a study in mental self-gratification. How's that? Wink, wink. It's just, okay, you have no idea what's going to happen. Now, look, if Pierce is a bust, then this is going to be one of the great Falcon disasters. Moving up and giving up a first and a second to get him, he's got to produce. Terry, I do think, had, if we're honest, tunnel vision on this pick. Ian Rappaport reports that the Falcons were really all in, and if they had not had Jalen Walker fall to him, he's of the opinion we would have taken James Pierce Jr. at 15.
Don't tell me that.
And a lot of people feel that is a major reach. So I do hope that, number one, first things first, he just does his work. We interviewed the young man. You know, again, coach him up, get him the help he needs to get to the next level. But he's certainly all SEC. He's got the size and the speed. You can't coach that. You know, other players I talked about last week, I was more interested in, but they like the guy. Now, here's the thing, though. You know, you get tunnel vision on a guy, it better be the right guy. And I do know that, Carl, if you're going to take him at 15, everybody would have thought that was a huge reach.
No, it would have been. And I would have been disappointed. I'm not even going to lie to you if that would have happened. It didn't play out that way. I'm not as disappointed with what they did in trying to get back into the first round. My question is, and look, nobody's really answered this because it's all kind of been ignored. James Pierce had some other issues, guys. Immaturity stuff, but you don't dismiss that when you're drafting a guy this high. And there were other guys that were on the board that had other issues that they were concerned about. And so you say, I'm more concerned about this guy's issues than I am that guy, and this guy might be better. They weighed all of that. But I will tell you, that is everything you're hearing about James Pierce off the field and like, hey, some of this stuff that, you know, whether you're on time or you're late for meetings or you're doing stuff, that stuff can be fixed, but I will tell you, if that's who you were in college, you get to the NFL, nobody's calling you, nobody's babying you and going, hey, it's time to go to work now. You're now in the league. You're getting paid a lot of money. So I hope, Mike, those things, just from a habit standpoint and what kind of, you know, how he approaches this, it is taken much more seriously. Jalen Walker, I'm not concerned about that. And nobody was. So that is my issue there. It doesn't mean that he won't be a great player. And some of this stuff, Mike, again, these guys are young. Maybe this is stuff that he grows out of. Let's hope so.
Right. I mean, look, on the bright side, he's going to be a force and will have some edge rush for years to come. On the worst case, he's Vic Beasley 2.0. That's the low end. You know, and even Vic Beasley popped for a couple of years.
He did.
And there were still boys, it wasn't all bad. But that's the worst case. They certainly did their work on this guy. We've talked about, you know, going back into all the way back to junior high on him, the family, the whole shebang. So they did their due diligence. So now we just wait and see. Meanwhile, the third round pick, love it. Xavier Watts, ball hawk. Now, some guys, I said this to Carl earlier. Is there anything we can do other than complain? Yes, they did mortgage a fifth round pick from 2026 because they anticipated a run on defensive backs. Xavier Watts is a guy with the most interceptions in all of college football the last two seasons at 13. Played for Notre Dame, played at a high level. He's also got that it factor, Carl. This dude is a stud. So I like it. They felt there was going to be. He wasn't going to be there if they stayed put at 101, so they moved up a couple spots to get him.
Yeah, look, when you're talking about the fourth round, again, I think I'm not as nervous about those kinds of moves when you start talking about the first round. Those guys have to be culture changers. Let me tell you about Jalen. I see why Kirby Smart loved him. He's a culture change kind of guy. He's going to come in, he's going to produce Mike, but also behind the scenes, and you just heard Connor Riley about an hour ago say, it's not just the player he is, man, it's the teammate. Those guys at the top of your draft have to drive the culture. And as you get, you know, guys acclimated to the locker room, Mike, and your older veteran guys start to show these guys the way, that's how you stay good. It's not just coming in and getting 7 or 8 sacks and being like, all right, I did my job. 404-726-0929. We're talking about the draft with you guys here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, coming off of what was a crazy weekend. I want you to hear Terry Fontenot, this is our general manager, talking about the guy that Mike was just mentioning, Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame.
He can tackle. He can come up and play the run. Again, highly instinctive. He takes the ball away. He can cover. He's a versatile player. So, you know, sometimes you label guys as a box safety or a back-end guy. He's a versatile guy that can do it all.
Yeah, and he's not that. He's not a box safety. He's not that dude. And the good thing is, Mike, you know, I said it earlier when I said he's Jesse Bates-ish, because I don't want to say he's Jesse Bates, because Jesse Bates has already proven in the NFL how good he is. But if he comes close to that, we got one. And I mean early in his career here. In the next couple of seasons, Mike, if he turns into that kind of player, man, we might have hit it out of the park with this pick.
Yeah, man. And you talk about a guy who is, you want to say he's like the next Jesse Bates. Said in interviews, he models his game after Jesse Bates and all the things that Jesse was in college and in Cincinnati. Some would say they missed that leadership on the defense in Cincinnati. Look, that's tremendous. So we got studs. And then a lot of guys were confused just because of the nature of the position, because Billy Bowman is also technically a safety, but he's kind of like what Richie Grant was supposed to be, a guy that can play corner. And again, it's not just nickel, it's dime. It's basically, you got to have the ability to kind of be living in a lot of multiple defenses, and that guy kind of fits that bill. But that's why they kind of went, although it looks confusing at times, safety.
Who is who's the guy we spent a lot of time talking about last year, Mike, that we were concerned a little bit about in our secondary? We love his fight.
I'm talking Clark Phillips.
Clark Phillips is, right. And people were asking me, is this guy Clark Phillips? And I was like, well, I understand why you might say that. I'm curious to see what the plan is there. Clark's still on his roster, guys. He's still a guy that they believe in.
Right.
But when you talk about, you know, drafting this guy, he can do similar things when we talk about that depth role of moving him around. And so, you know, we got Phillips. We got Bowman. You know, obviously Mike Hughes, we had on a great interview earlier with Josh Kendall, who said he believes in Mike Hughes probably more than Falcon fans. The metrics don't lie. He was one of the best corners in the league. The problem is when you're giving up all the yards we were giving up, Mike, and you got those miscommunications in the secondary, it looks worse than what he actually played.
Right, and that's where we get into, you know, I mean, D. Alford got released. He let go. They didn't re-sign him. But D. Alford was a guy that was one of those dudes that looked confused at times. But that goes back to, you know, the complimentary football. Without any pressure up front, quarterback can sit there and basically pick you apart, which he did much of the season against that secondary. But you're right, Hughes, he measures out as one of the top 40 corners. You know, figure two per team, 32, do the math.
That's right.
So, I mean, I know that's the PFF stuff, we're off in the weeds, but to Josh Kendall's point, yeah, he's not as bad as you expect. Meanwhile, Jack Nelson goes seventh. Don't know much about him other than he's a big offensive lineman from Wisconsin who's got a ton of starts in the Big Ten. So kind of hopefully he can make the team. It's kind of iffy there as a seventh rounder. And then the guys that I'm kind of intrigued by, Carl, because some of these dudes, Kobe Bryant, I mocked a couple of times, corner from Kansas, who's got some good ball-hawking ability. You've got a guy that some folks may or may not know about, and this dude is Nick Nash, and this is a guy who's led the league, or led all college football, receiving yards, receptions, and touchdowns. He was undrafted because he doesn't have breakaway speed. He's just one of those dudes who gets open. So you want to say it, or I'll say it. Coach's son, great route runner, real gym rat, plucky, but he does have some size. He's not tiny. But it is interesting, though, because that's one of those dudes that you could say, hey, maybe this guy has a chance to kind of be complimentary to Drake London and to Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell?
What's up?
You to it.
What's up?
And you know, and then you have a guy that maybe can find some seams and get loose. And if Pitts comes out and does his thing, maybe you found your typical, well, only the Patriots seem to make it work. Or, you know, a guy like a Hunter Renfrow, but he's taller than that. But a guy that can just get open for you and be a guy that moves the chains.
Yeah, I agree. Look, Darnell can stretch the field. Drake's going to be in there as well. And you know, they're already talking about picking up his fifth-year option. Duh. You add, should I, Mike, you said it, but I don't even know if I want to say it. You add Pitts in there. And to your point, like that he could fit a role for our team, especially on situational stuff. There's no debating it. That's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out and if he's able to make the team.
And Georgia Tech tackle, he was third team all ACC. Jordan Williams has been signed by the Falcons. These are all guys that'll be in camp and they get paid, and now it's just a matter of they make the team.
I want you to hear Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator for our Falcons, talking about Jalen Walker. This is the best thing he said all weekend to me. Where are we playing him? What's his role going to be? I don't want to hear, oh, he can do 80 million things. That's been cleared up. Here's our DC.
They'll both start as edge elements. So they're going to work as outside linebacker / edge / defensive end. Like I said earlier, you know, we're going to be versatile and we're going to be multiple. So. But that's where they're going to start. You know, on first and second down, I want, especially Jalen, to really have an opportunity to just master playing on the edge, because I think there's something there that's really special. Give him an opportunity just to have one home initially and become as good as he can at that, you know. And then from a third down perspective, we can get creative with him, and that'll be part of his superpower.
So you brought up Lawrence Taylor earlier. Do you guys not think Lawrence Taylor was versatile? But he was great at coming off the edge.
Strip sack.
That's what he did. And you know what? The Giants were smart enough, and his coaches, and he had great ones, do what you've been doing. That's what we're going to do with Jalen. And that was the best thing I heard all weekend from Jeff Ulbrich.
Right. And Jalen had, not that he had a problem with it, but the comparisons being a slightly smaller version of Micah Parsons. Yeah, you make that work.